Reverend Heather Dawn Clark.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our center. I read a story about a woman who Valentine's Day was coming up, and she was really wanting some diamond jewelry. So she said to her husband, she said, "You know, honey, I had a dream last night that you gave me this beautiful diamond necklace for Valentine's Day. I wonder what it means." And he said, "Wait until tomorrow and you'll find out." So the next day, there was a present for her, and she opened it. It was a book on dreams. Okay, so we don't always get what we want, but we always get what we're coming from. We always get from who we are. So this morning, I'm doing something completely different for me. I've never done this before, ever, and that is based, my whole series for the whole month is based on a novel, The Alchemist. And The Alchemist you can read in a couple hours. It's a very short book packed with beautiful spiritual gems. It has now taken its place along with The Little Prince and Jonathan Livingston Seagull in my books of spiritual wisdom. This is a book of truth. This is a book, it's a sermon as a tale. It's a story of the truth that each one of us are doing. And in the affirmation, you notice the affirmation was about your personal legend, your personal legend. And that's something that Paulo Coelho, the author, uses to mean your calling, your purpose, what it is you need to accomplish in this life, why you came. Why you came is your personal legend. And all of us are familiar with our own personal legends. We might not have ever called it that. But we know that when we're living our truth, when we're living out loud, when time seems to either fly by or stand still, depending on who you are, where it doesn't seem to have any bearing, when you're doing your right work, that's your personal legend. That's your purpose. That's your calling. And what he says in the book is that children know this. And then as we grow older, we forget it. We get all of the reasons, all of the fears about being an adult. And so we give up on that thing that we've come to do or be. It's always really being. The thing that we came to be. Well, this week was actually last week, but I didn't know it last Sunday, that one of my great inspirations, and many of you also, Wayne Dyer, made his transition. And I've been reading his book, Wishes Fulfilled, which, by the way, Hay House did this wonderful thing. You can get any of his books, e-books, for $1.99 right now as a special deal. Any of his books that are online. I did mine on iTunes, but I'm sure you can do it Amazon or any other place that you get e-books, $1.99 for the book. Anyway, I wanted to tell you this. Wayne Dyer influenced me before I even knew there was a spiritual path. I read Your Erroneous Zones way back in the 70s, maybe late 70s, early 80s, maybe. And one of the messages in that wonderful book is, if you are manipulating people through guilt or fear, then you are not living in alignment with purpose, truth, source. It wasn't a spiritual book, as I remember it. It might have been, but I wasn't into spirituality then. I was into personal development. I was into living a better life, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Guilt or fear. I was a teacher at the time. I taught junior high school. I loved teaching. And I was not one of those fear teachers. I never liked that, but some of my colleagues that got great results I could hear that. I mean, they screamed at these kids. They yelled. They did operate through fear. And so it was easy for me to look at that and go, well, I'm not like that. But then when I looked at the guilt, and I realized, well, why were they always so well behaved? Why were they always so great? It was because I made them feel guilty if they weren't. And it changed my life forever. As a matter of fact, I took a sabbatical from teaching because of that book. And you only get a sabbatical for 1 year. So at the end of the year, and I'd gone off to be a salesperson, which is not my calling at all. It's not my calling at all. But what I learned from being a salesperson was that if I wasn't delivering the goods, if I wasn't giving value, I didn't get paid. Whereas when I was a teacher, I got paid no matter how lousy I was, no matter how good I was, how brilliant I was, or how unprepared, how bad I was. And that made me, from that moment on, I made a decision to give as much value as I could to whatever it was I was doing. Well, most of you know that I only lasted out of the teaching profession for 2 years. And then I went back teaching junior high school, and eventually awakened. I'm sure it must have been another 5 years later before I really had a spiritual awakening. So I know that Wayne Dyer has touched many, many people's lives in here. And when I read Wishes Fulfilled, and who else has read that book? One, two, three. What I noticed, it was a lot about the other side. It was almost like he was forecasting his own transition. And of course, it's all about we're eternal beings. We're not the bodies that we are inhabiting. We are spiritual, magnificent spiritual beings on adventures in our lives, living this human experience. So now back on to The Alchemist. The Alchemist is a story of, and he calls him the boy. All throughout the whole book, he calls him the boy. But he really is, he's a young shepherd. But the boy, when you think of it, the boy, because he's still curious about life, he has not made a decision about life is a certain way. He's curious, and there's the first thing that we can learn from him. He is not in search of an alchemist, but he meets someone that is in search of an alchemist. He is in search of his dream. He had the same dream twice. It was a dream of finding this treasure, and the pyramids were behind him. So he was a boy from Spain, a shepherd boy from Spain, called to find this treasure. Well, that's a metaphor for us, called to find the spiritual truth, which is the treasure within us, called to find our treasure. Really interesting allusion. So it's, first of all, Paulo Coelho, his calling was to be a writer. And he'd say to his parents, they wanted him to be something that required a university education. And he would quit and be a hippie in America or wherever he was. But he wasn't from here. But he wanted to be a writer. And three times they said to him, you cannot be a writer. And three times they put him in an insane asylum because his dream was not acceptable to them. So one of the first things that we can learn is your dream might not be understandable to the people who love you, to the people around you, but it's your dream. Don't let anyone steal it from you. It's yours. It's yours. Be willing to say yes to that dream. And you're never too old. It's never too late for for you to be living your divine purpose, your calling, what it is that you are here to do. You and only you can give the gift that you're here to give. No one else can do it for you. Just you can do it. A couple of weeks ago, I referred to a story, and then last night I reread the story, and I'm going to tell it to you again. So it must be important, because every time I go back to, I just told them 2 weeks ago. Well, maybe it's different people. Okay. This is the story of Monty Roberts. And Monty Roberts is an owner of a horse ranch in California. It's a 200-acre ranch, and he has a 4,000-square-foot home on this ranch. And he's a very successful man, obviously, raising racehorses. When he was a senior, see, I've gotten my facts right now. When he was a senior in high school, his teacher gave him the assignment to write your future, what your future is going to be. Well, he went home and he was filled with what he wanted to do. His dad, by the way, was an itinerant horse trainer. They didn't have any money. They didn't have a home. He went from place to place. So the kid spent, you know, several days. The paper was 7 pages long. In it, it included a diagram of the ranch, a drawing of the house, all of the details. And the teacher marked it and gave it back the next day, a great big red F on the front. Who do you think you are? This is unrealistic for you. A boy with no family support, you could never afford this dream. I'll tell you what. If you will write a more realistic vision for your future, I will consider giving you a new mark. So the boy went home. He talked to his father. He said, Dad, what should I do? This is an F. I don't want an F. And the father said to him, son, this is up to you. This is your choice. So the son thought about it, and he said to the teacher, you keep your F. I'm keeping my dream. And he framed that paper and put it on his mantle, his fireplace, in this place, in this beautiful ranch that he had envisioned when he was 17 years old, a senior in high school. He knew that this was going to be what he did. Do you think it materialized overnight? Likely not. Someone didn't just come in and give him a couple of million dollars and say, here, go and make your ranch. But it was his vision that he moved toward. It was his vision, his dream, and he said yes to it. So first of all, don't let anyone steal your dreams. They might not seem realistic to anyone else, but they're your dreams. And if they come from your heart, or as Paulo says in The Alchemist, from the voice of the world, which is the voice of God, the voice of intuition, if you're guided by that, then follow that advice. Follow that dream. Well, another thing that he says, which is really true, is that when you take one step toward your dream, the universe conspires to help you. So if you make a statement, this is what I want, and I see some nods, and I know some of the stories. If you say, this is what I want, and I take one little step toward it, the universe conspires to help you build that dream, to help you realize that good. It certainly is true with us as community. We had a dream of owning our own home, and that dream did not come overnight. It didn't come to pass. It was years and years and years of planning and praying and visioning. And then even when we got close, it was like, oh, maybe we don't have enough money, et cetera, et cetera. But here we are in our dream, in our dream. And one of the things about achieving goals, you all know this if you've taken classes from me, an achieved goal is counterproductive. An achieved goal is counterproductive because what happens? Now you haven't anything to move toward. You're already here. So you really can't afford to rest on your laurels. One needs to then be silent, listen to the voice of your heart, say, what's the next thing? What else is there for me to do? What's my next great idea? And then take the action toward that. The universe conspires for your good. There's a beautiful story about the universe conspiring. And it's a dog story, so I'm glad you're here, Tony. It's a story about a dog. And there was this, give me a name of a black big dog, but not as big as a Labrador. Thank you. Black Labrador. Anyway, he was for adoption, and this man adopted him. And the dog was just a dud. The dog was listless. He was supposed to have lots of energy and be friendly. The dog didn't do anything. He barely came, supposed to obey orders, and the dog's name was Reggie, and he'd Reggie do this, and Reggie would just sort of look around and not do anything. So with adoption, they said, well, give him 2 weeks, and if you really don't bond in that 2 weeks, then you can bring him back. So the 2 weeks were just about up, and the guy's just, he's had it. What's the point of having a dog that won't play, won't do anything, won't come to you? So he's gathering up all his things, and this fellow had moved, so everything was in boxes. Even the things from the animal shelter were in boxes, some of Reggie's things, his mat, and he finally got the mat out and said, here, Reggie, here's your mat. Reggie kind of looked at it and just flopped on it. And that was that. Then he found a letter that had been written to Reggie's new owner. And this is what it said. If you are reading this letter, then my dog has been adopted. And you need to know, first of all, his name's not Reggie. It's Tank, because that's what I drive. And if you're reading this letter, it's because I haven't come home. And you might have even read about our unit in the paper. Well, this guy, when he looked at the name, he said he had. He said, Tank loves tennis balls. He always carries 2 tennis balls in his cheeks, and he's always trying to get a third one in there. So just tell him to let's play ball, Tank, and he'll be there. So, of course, he felt very badly after reading this letter that here this dog had lost his best friend, and he hadn't done very well in adopting him. And so he called, here, Tank, and the ears perked up. Came over, he let him be scratched around behind the ears. They started bonding. He said, let's play ball, and Tank just got so excited. And he came back into the room with a third tennis ball in his mouth. The universe had conspired. See, that doll was meant to be with that new companion, with a new owner. But the new owner didn't know it till he read the letter. Someone might be calling you by your wrong name. It's a case of mistaken identity, right? If someone doesn't know who you are, they can't treat you with that respect, with that love, with that connection with which they should be treating you. But if you don't know it in here, no one else can know it out here. So let's say you think you have a dream. Let's just say you think you might possibly have a dream that you haven't realized yet. Well, I'm going to give you some ideas that you could use to actually manifest that dream. This comes from his Wishes Fulfilled book. And one of the things he says is, So important, Ernest Holmes says this too, so important, the last thing at night for you to do is to feel the feeling of your fulfilled desire. So just for a moment, let's say, you know, when I wanted to be a minister, I was so clear. I mean, saw myself where there are palm trees. I'm freezing in the cold in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I see palm trees. How did that happen? And here I am when there are palm trees. So feel how you would feel with your fulfilled wish or desire. And when you're going to sleep, go to sleep with that feeling, with that feeling. If you start getting into fear or worry, he says, get up, turn the lights on, so that you can't go to sleep in that place. Because imagine, at night, subconscious mind is working on whatever our last thoughts are. And if our last thoughts are fear or worry or concern, then we've got all night, 8 or 4 hours, depending on how long you sleep, we've got a whole night of building that dream, which really is a nightmare. So Wayne says, get up, turn the light on, do something else, get back into the feeling of oneness, then get back into bed. And he said, do it many times if you need to. And I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I mean, you might miss a little bit of sleep at the beginning, but much better to miss a little sleep and be planting and replanting your dream than to be wondering why your experience was so unlike your heart's desire. Your heart's desire has to be a desire of God, to manifest God. What stops us often is our resistance. So I made copies of this for you. They're on the marble table right beside the box for the pledges. It's From Wishes Fulfilled by Wayne Dyer, and this is what he says. Making the transition from the level of ordinary consciousness to the level of super consciousness involves a fundamental renewal, a dramatic change of personality. Very few are prepared to commit to this fulfillment of their divine purpose. What I'm inviting you to do, if you wish to be truly fulfilled, is to overcome your resistance to including all that you are in your earthly life. You have the ability to enter higher regions so as to consciously fulfill your highest desires. Now, for the greatest benefit of all, this is akin to doing a somersault and landing in a new reality, a reality in which all things are possible, a reality where you no longer identify yourself with all those cultural memes and mind viruses that were programmed into you as a young person preparing you for an ordinary life. You begin this exciting adventure of changing your concept of yourself by being willing to die to your present self. That's right. By relinquishing your personal history as the arbiter of your life, you cease to resist your fuller potential. You simply no longer choose to form your identity on the basis of what you've been taught. Remind yourself that everything you've believed to be true has brought you to this point where you want to explore rather than resist your higher power. So remember, whatever is going on in your life right now, and for many of you, it's great what's going on. Could it be greater? Absolutely. It could. But if there's anything, as Reverend Bruce said in his opening prayer, if there's anything going on that you would like healing for, prosperity or relationship, in terms of creative expression, in terms of any of the desires of your heart, if you want a healing, this is the time to have a shift in consciousness, to make a shift, to say yes to that dream, and to trust the universe is conspiring on your behalf to bring it about. It's the truth. And so it is. Thank you. Now, Diane's going to help us get